This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I am here today to acknowledge and represent the African American girls whose stories don't make the front page of every national newspaper.
Fueled by the passionate survivors of Florida's Parkland students, hundreds of thousands of people hit the streets to protest gun violence in March for Our Lives.
Last month, when all the students from Leon High School and all our schools across the state marched on the Capitol, you're making history again today.
In a short period of time, students like David Hogg have been able to mobilize in one of the most powerful advocacy campaigns.
96 people die every day from guns in our country, yet most representatives have no public stance on guns. And to that, we say no more.
But what impact will they have? We ask our guest, Karen Moore, with the Moore Agency.
I think their impact is not even fully understood right now. These are students who are rallying their peers using social media, technology that has become one of the most essential tools in the toolbox for advocacy campaigns.
Also this week, the Sun Sentinel's Dan Sweeney shares his insights on covering the stories from Parkland.
Being from Sun Sentinel, this is a major story for us, possibly the biggest story in the paper's existence.
All that and more coming up on episode 142 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program, and we begin this week with March for Our Lives, because the students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas quickly learned the change they wanted to see had to move from beyond the walls of their classrooms, beyond their city and county government. When they traveled to Tallahassee, they knew more needed to be done, even here. It was bigger than Florida. They wanted Congress and the nation to change, so they marched for Our Lives. Here is Marjory Stoneman Douglas student, Emma Gonzalez.
No one could comprehend the devastating aftermath or how far this would reach or where this would go. For those who still can't comprehend because they refuse to, I'll tell you where it went. Right into the ground, 6 feet deep. 6 minutes and 20 seconds with an AR-15, and my friend Carmen would never complain to me about piano practice. Aaron Feist would never call Kira Miss Sunshine. Alex Schachter would never walk into school with his brother Ryan. Scott Beagle would never joke around with Cameron at camp. Helena Ramsey would never hang out after school with Max. Gina Montalto would never wave to her friend Liam at lunch. Joaquin Oliver would never play basketball with Sam or Dylan. Elena Petty would never. Kara Lugren would never. Chris Hickson would never. Luke Hoyer would never. Marquin Duque Aguiano would never. Peter Wang would never. Alyssa Alhadaf would never. Jamie Guttenberg would never. Meadow Pollock would never.
Here is Naomi Wadler.
My name is Naomi, and I'm 11 years old. Me and my friend Carter led a walkout at our elementary school on the 14th. We walked out for 18 minutes, adding a minute to honor Cortland Arrington, an African-American girl who was the victim of gun violence in her school in Alabama after the Parkland shooting. I am here today to represent Cortland Arrington. I am here today to represent Hadia Pendleton. I am here today to represent Tiana Thompson, who at just 16 was shot dead in her home here in Washington, D.C. I am here today to acknowledge and represent the African American girls whose stories don't make the front page of every national newspaper. Whose stories don't lead on the evening news. I represent the African-American women who are victims of gun violence, who are simply statistics instead of vibrant, beautiful girls at full of potential.
Emma Gonzalez stood on stage at the March for Our Lives for 6 minutes and 20 seconds, the length of the Parkland gunman's shooting spree. She shared her story and the stories of those who are unable to speak. In Advocacy 101, it comes down to sharing your story with those in power to see change. I found an expert on this topic, Karen Moore, who heads one of the top communications agencies in Florida. She's here to talk about the power of advocacy. So Karen Moore, thanks for having me here at your headquarters. Well, what used to be Moore Communications Group?
We have just rebranded ourselves as Moore. It's bold, it's simple, and I think it takes our brand for the next 25 years. So welcome to Moore.
Thanks for having me. Now, I wanted to have you here on the program. We just finished the legislative session, and it was a wild one. And I wanted to talk with you about the importance of advocacy in the legislative process. How important is it?
Well, first of all, you are absolutely right. 2018 was one for the records. Every session has its own personality, and this one certainly did. But what we saw so clearly during this session was the value of advocacy campaigns. Whether they were really crafted and constructed and organized, or whether they were truly organic, the issues that came forward out of this session were because of the power of the individual voices.
So we can't go without touching on one of the biggest advocacy campaign this session, and it had to do surrounding gun control and those students from Parkland High School, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, that suffered that tragedy of seeing 17 people died on their campus, and them mobilizing and coming here to the Capitol for the first time. What are your thoughts on what they have done?
Aren't we all collectively inspired by their passion, by their dedication, by their voice? These are high school students. Sometimes people inside of Capitol Circle in Tallahassee, up at the Capitol, tend to be a little jaded. We know how things are done. This is the way it gets organized. Here's the sausage making. And these students said, here's an issue we are very passionate about, and we want our voice heard, and we're going to go to Tallahassee and make sure that people see us, hear us, understand what we're saying. And frankly, it was organized in such a fast manner, it caught many people by surprise.
Yeah, I would actually say that what they have done, despite some of their disappointment and them expressing their obvious disappointment, they made an impact in such a short amount of time. What do you make about what they've done?
I think their impact is not even fully understood right now. These are students who are rallying their peers using social media, technology that has become one of the most essential tools in the toolbox for advocacy campaigns, but they've really put a face on the issue. I mean, to have a student say, I don't ever remember in my life there not being mass shootings, from Columbine to Parkland, for them to have, here is what we now intend to do, not only in the 2018 Florida legislative session, but we're now going to be talking with members of Congress. We're now going to be getting out the vote for the next midterm or general election. We want this issue to be pervasive to where people understand it's time to have a candid dialogue about it. And I frankly am very impressed with these young people.
Me too. We'll be back with Karen Moore as she'll share some general tips for when you'd like to start your advocacy campaign. But let's turn back to those students from Parkland. Here's David Hogg.
When politicians send their thoughts and prayers with no action, we say no more. And to those politicians supported by the NRA that allow the continued slaughter of our children and our future, I say get your resumes ready.
And here's Sam Fuentes.
Never did I think I would be herded like cattle by a shower of bullets that left me scarred and rattled. Forced to huddle among those who lost their last living breaths on a day that was designated for loves and laugh. I never got to say goodbye. I could barely see out my eyes because I was crying tears and blood at the same time. Barricaded behind those filing cabinets and bookcases that day taught me one thing. and one thing only. Regardless of how much money you pay or how much you pray, if you don't change anything today, your children will no longer stay. So when do we say enough is enough?
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us expand our reach. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, on Facebook. We welcome your generous contributions along with your tips and story ideas. Again, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, and we're available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the program. The March for Our Lives hit Florida's capital. Here's Leon County School Superintendent Rocky Hanna addressing the many in attendance.
I'm here with my wife, Christy. Christy, stand up and wave. My wife, Christy, is a middle school science teacher. And Christy, don't you worry. I will not ask you to take a gun to school next year. I want to know what idiot in this building thought that was a good idea.
Now let's turn back to Karen Moore as she shares her tips on advocacy. What tips would you give for those who would like to engage and see their issues make an impact when they're starting out their advocacy campaign to try and get lawmakers to listen to their issues?
Well, you know, whether you're a not-for-profit organization or whether you're a passionate individual of an issue or you're a major Fortune 500 company, there are issues that you want brought in front of elected officials. You want to pass bills. You want to kill bills. But to do any of that, you need to have a plan, and you need to have clear strategies and tactics. And the biggest mistake I see people doing when they decide we want to engage in an advocacy campaign is they all of a sudden it occurs to them on the first day of session. Well, that's way too late to have any impact. So I tell groups, you need to actually start thinking about it a full year ahead of time. You need to think, what is it that would be perceived as success? And you work backwards. So if what you want is a specific action to take place, who needs to be the messenger to tell that? You need to have the right partners at the table. What is the message you want sent? And the message needs to be positive in what it's going to have as a positive effect of passing or killing this legislation. What we find many times is we need this done because of this is how bad it is, and if you don't pass, it's going to get worse. Well, that may be true, but elected officials want to feel like they're having a positive impact. So twist that position around and show how they can be perceived as a hero by making a positive action take place. You also need to think about timing of your activities, and one activity isn't going to make a change. It's this domino effect of doing multiple things. So you need to be talking with members back in their home district, because decisions begin to get made well before committee meetings take place, no less sessions starting. Then you need to be thinking about what is the story you're trying to tell. You know, members who are voting on a particular issue, they may remember a few data points, but what they'll really remember is a story. And so you need to have your stories about the face of the issue you have and why should they want to get involved and vote in support for you. I also think you need to remember that it's just not meetings with elected officials. It's an entire surround sound. So what is the local media saying? You know, Do you have letters to the editor and op-eds in the paper? Are you doing radio and television interviews?
Or podcasts.
Or more importantly, podcast.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
What are you doing on Facebook and Twitter? Do you know that Florida is considered in the top two states in the nation for social digital media involvement by our elected officials? So if you're not using that tactic, then you've lost a whole opportunity to gather attention to your issue by the people you need to have vote on it.
So you mentioned it at the top, 25 years to this day you've been at this. What is in store for more? And tell us about why you have gone about this big, beautiful rebrand.
Thank you. Well, we're celebrating 25 years this year. And, you know, as you see consumers being more and more focused on evolving brands, sometimes companies have to step back and take a very clear view of, has my brand evolved? And ours has. We're not just the Tallahassee-based firm in the state of Florida who does great advocacy work. We are so much broader than that, from advertising, PR, media relations, social, digital, research. And we have offices in 3 time zones and clients across 10 time zones. It was time for our brand to publicly evolve also. So we went from more communications group to more. Mm-hmm. I think it clearly sets us up for the way we want to be positioned moving forward in the next 25 years. Right now, we are an agency of choice, certainly in the Southeast, certainly nationally. But we live in a global economy. And so in the next 25 years, I want to come back with you on this podcast and talk how we are a global agency of choice.
Well, Karen Moore, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me here on The Rotunda.
Thank you. It is always a privilege to be with you.
Coming up, we hear from the Sun Sentinel's Dan Sweeney, who has been tracking the rise of the Never Again movement all the way into the March for Our Lives.
You know, it was a bigger story, I think, for me than it was for most of the rest of the Capitol Press Corps. And
Dan Sweeney, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jamel. How are you?
I am doing well. I just wanted to touch base with you. This week's program, I'm looking at the importance of advocacy, and we couldn't escape, like, during this legislative session, the biggest advocacy moment involving those students from Parkland when they came to Tallahassee, and how that has really turned the entire legislative session upside down. First, what are your thoughts on what you saw with those students here at the Capitol when they came to Tallahassee?
I mean, you know, being that I write for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, the paper in Broward County, it was, you know, it was a bigger story, I think, for me than it was for most of the rest of the Capitol Press Corps. And so once it, you know, once it happened, and once the legislature seemed like they were actually going to do something on the subject, you know, it really became important for me to kind of, you know, track every move of what was up, what was down, and, you know, the whole amendment process as the bills kind of made their way through the legislature.
You were riding hard. I see there's a stat out there that particularly on one of those days, a Saturday session, one of those rare weekend session, you tweeted at least 217 times into that day. What was going on?
Well, I mean, it was, like you said, it was a rare Saturday session. It was the Senate's opportunity to amend this bill or, you know, attempt to amend this bill in the case of a lot of these, you know, Democratic amendments they tried to get on, like this assault weapons ban and all these other gun control issues that they tried to put forth. So basically every they had a lot of amendments, as I recall, 70 some odd amendments. And any amendment that came up, I tweeted what happened to it, what the debate was on it, and what the result was when they took a vote. And when you drag that out over, you know, 70 or 80 amendments, it adds up pretty quick. But I made sure to, kind of put it all in one story, make sure to thread my tweets and so that people could follow along. And you could see the results. I picked up a lot of followers. I got a lot of response, a lot of replies and that kind of stuff throughout the day. And I did my best to try to respond to any replies. Anybody that had questions about what was happening in that, I tried to make sure to respond to their questions and let them know exactly what was going on in the Capitol. So, when you add up not only just, covering the amendments, but also responding to questions and all that, that's really where you get, an extraordinary number like that.
You mentioned threading your tweets and making sure people are able to follow it. What are some tips for those who are engaging on Twitter, as everyone has, having been forced to get their information on this platform? For me, I thought it was just going to be here like most and then just suddenly disappear. But then we have President Trump, who's made it his forum to speak to the people.
Yes. if you're gonna write a very long, cover an hours long process like that Senate session, and every tweet's gonna be related to the next. Instead of just doing a tweet and then doing a tweet and then doing another tweet, you should be basically replying to the tweet that you tweeted before. That's what I mean by threading your tweets. So that way, if somebody sees your one tweet you put out and it's kind of out of context and they're not really sure, what exactly you're talking about, there'll be a little link that says, see the rest of this thread on Twitter. And they can click on that and they can see all the tweets that you've been writing, responding to yourself one after the other, so that they can then, pick up the story. And I found, this session especially, I used to sit there in the press gallery with my computer and I would type away, notes on what was happening, in a Word doc or what have you. And then at the end, I'd try to, make sense of it all and put it in a coherent story. But, I kind of found this session that while I still did that on some, side things that I wanted to keep in mind that weren't really relevant to the public at the time, I found I can just as easily take notes in Twitter. I can just as easily write down quotes and write down what's happening in Twitter and then go back and look at my Twitter thread later when I'm actually crafting a full-fledged story and use that as part of my notes. So, that way, not only can you get people out the news as it's happening right away, but you're also essentially, taking notes for your story later. Although, I would add to that's not my sole source of notes for a story. I have, I'm keeping track of a couple of other things at the same time and taking notes in a Word document and all that while I'm also doing Twitter. So I would not rely on Twitter to be, your only source of news.
But it is important and fascinating, like making the tool more useful than what some are using it for. I'm a light touch user of Twitter. I guess I'll be forced into using it a lot more. And use your tips. So just to wrap up, you were also present at the March for Our Lives. What were you seeing on the ground, and any thoughts on how things unfolded this weekend?
Well, yeah, I covered a rally in Boca Raton, and we had other reporters at the rallies in Parkland, West Palm Beach. We had two reporters, a columnist and a photographer up in Washington, D.C. Like I said, being from the Sun Sentinel, this is a major, major story for us, possibly the biggest story in the paper's existence. What I saw in Boca, you're talking about 5,000 or 6,000 people. And keep in mind, this is right next to Parkland, where they had 20,000 people or so, from what I understand. And Boca is a relatively small town. You still have 5,000 or 6,000 people out. So I think, it seemed wherever they were having a rally like this, in at least a fairly large town, you were getting big turnout. The question to me really is does that translate into something else going forward? There was a lot of talk at all these rallies about registering to vote, making sure people got out and voted. But whether that actually happens, whether we see an increase in voting, and whether that voting can actually have an effect, given, that many of these people that they're targeting are in largely, safe districts, kind of remains to be seen.
What will happen next, considering this being such an important story for your paper, will this become like Pulse? What's the next step for the community? As far as I know, the students are wondering, and how do you guys plan your coverage going forward?
Well, as far as the students are the big leaders, it's your Evan Gonzalez and your David Hodge and all. They've got a lot of classwork to catch up on. So I think the next thing they have to worry about is passing classes. But as far as the movement they've started, a lot of what the legislature passed as far as building a new building there at Stoneman Douglas, a lot of the kind of more local small bore stuff, the commission that was in that school safety bill to look into the Parkland shooting and find out, any mistakes that were made, kind of some of the small bore stuff that won't be as big a deal in other places is going to be a pretty big deal to us.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes chatting with Dan Sweeney with the Sun Sentinel. Right. And lastly, as we wrap up here, I see that you guys are working on a podcast. What is it all about?
Yeah, we have a podcast coming out in early April. It's called Felonious Florida. It's going to be basically just a true crime Florida thing, a little dose of crime stories, a little dose of Florida man. And I think it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And, for myself too, it's kind of not a big secret anymore, but this last session was probably my last session in Tallahassee. I'm going to be doing a lot more with, digital engagement and, reader interaction and stuff like that going forward, and probably not doing as much, directly with state politics. So a lot of change at the Sun Sentinel. It's going to be a great podcast. I'm going to be doing a lot more to kind of reach out to readers and all, and I'm looking forward to both those things.
I have a feeling with your digital engagement, I'm just predicting that some way, somehow, you're going to find yourself back in Tallahassee to do more of that here.
It's possible.
Or at least I'm hoping.
It's possible. We'll see.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me. Lastly, how can someone follow and learn more about that podcast and follow you on Twitter?
Well, yeah, I'm at Twitter at Daniel_Sweeney. Please do follow. I'm a pretty active Twitterer, and I try to engage in conversation as much as possible. And the Felonious Florida podcast, just go to sunsentinel.com. We're going to have a clickable link there to get it when it's available, and it's going to be good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.